الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, آية 153 of سورة آل عمران, doing the تفسير of شيخ عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي رحمة الله عليه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إذ تصعدون ولا تلون على أحد والرسول يدعوكم في أخراكم فأثابكم غما بغم لكي لا تحزنوا على ما فاتكم ولا ما أصابكم والله خبير بما تعملون. ثم أنزل عليكم من بعد الغم أمنة نعاسا يغشى طائفة منكم وطائفة قد أهمتهم أنفسهم يظنون بالله غير الحق ظن الجاهلية يقولون هل لنا من الأمر من شيء قل إن الأمر كله لله يخفون ما في أنفسهم يخفون في أنفسهم ما لا يبدون لك يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا قل لو كنتم في بيوتكم لبرز الذين كتب عليهم القتل إلى مضاجعهم وليبتلي الله ما في صدوركم وليمحص ما في قلوبكم والله عليم بذات الصدور. These are some very, very profound ayats. Allah Azza wa Jalla says interpretation of the meaning in English, and remember when you ran away dreadfully without even casting a side glance at anyone, and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in your rear calling you back, there did Allah give you one distress after another by way of requital to teach you not to grieve for that which had escaped you nor for that which had befallen you. And Allah is well aware of all that you do. Then after the distress, He sent down security for you. Slumber overtook a body of you while another body was thinking about themselves as how to save their own selves, ignoring the others and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thought wrongly of Allah, the thought of ignorance. They said, have we any part in the affair? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say you, indeed, the affair belongs wholly to Allah. They hide within themselves what they dare not reveal to you, saying, if we had anything to do with the affair, none of us would have been killed here. Say, even if you had remained in your homes, those whom death was decreed, those for whom death was decreed would certainly have gone forth to the place of their death, but that Allah might test what is in your breasts and to purify that which is in your hearts, and Allah is all knower of what is in your chests. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. These are, now listen to the tafsir now. Yaqul al-Shaykh rahimahullah, يذكرهم تعالى حالهم في وقت نزامهم عن القتال. Now Allah is reminding the believers about their loss during the battle. Which battle is this?
Uhud.
Sent. ويعاتبهم على ذلك فقال إذ تصعدون أي تجدون في الهرم. So Allah reprimands them and He says إذ تصعدون. Tus'idun is like you run away dreadfully. You know, you run away with the passion. You're not just running away, you're really just running away. You don't even see anything in front of you. Like someone who, for example, if you were out in the jungle or something, and then a lion, you know, comes your way. You know, the way you run is like someone who doesn't even look back. You don't look to your right. Even if you had friends with you, it is all gone. You will not stop until you know it's been 10 minutes, and then you can actually take some rest and look, are my friends with me, did you know, is the lion behind me? This is the kind of running where you just, you know, you don't care about anything or anyone but you. على كل حال. ولا تلون على أحد أي لا يلوي أحد منكم على أحد ولا يضر إليه. And you don't even look at yourself, look at each other. يعني some of them were running away in such a manner that they don't even bother to look right or left or to see if anyone else is with them. بل kita. The only concern you had was escape and avoiding the war. That's the only thing that was going on. وَالْحَالُ أَنَّ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ خَطَرٌ كَبِيرٌ But the truth of the matter is, there isn't a great danger affecting you. There isn't a great danger that you're facing. لَسْتُمْ آخِرَ النَّاسِ مِمَّا يَلِي الْأَعْدَاءِ وَيُبَاشِرُ الْهَيْجَاءِ Because you are not in the last of the rows who are facing the actual enemies and the ones who excite the rest. These are actually in the front. We will see what happens. بَلِ الرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ فِي أُخْرَاكُمْ Who's at the end? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani right now imagine, this is the army of the Muslims and they are facing the army of the Kuffar. At some point, those in the front who are in the back of the army in this direction when you're facing the enemy. When they start running away, now they're running away, everyone turns around, now they're in the front. And they're escaping, even though they're in the front. Who are the ones in real danger? The ones in the back who were in the front earlier, which is the Prophet ﷺ himself. So this is reprimanding them. How would you then leave alone, leave the Prophet ﷺ and you would run? Of course, we will see this does not undermine the status of the Sahaba in any way, shape or form. But this is how the tarbiyah took place. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal brought, raised them and Prophet ﷺ raised them until they reached a point where they became who they became. But they went through stages. Yani for their iman to be perfected, this was early on still. For them to reach this level of maturity, there were times where some little things happened here and there. That does not undermine the virtue of the Sahaba. We will see. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell us later on that Allah forgave them. And if Allah forgives someone, no one can run their mouth afterwards. It's over. Yani just in case the Shia want to get philosophical with us. طيب. أي مما يلي القوم يقول إلي عباد الله. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is the nearest to the enemy, and he's saying to you, to me, O slaves of Allah. يعني come to me, as in تفسير الطبري. فلم تلتفتوا إليه ولا عرشوا عليه. He didn't even turn. The Prophet ﷺ couldn't come here. Come, O slaves of Allah, and some of them would not even turn. Just kept moving. بسم الله. فالفرار نفسه موجب للوم. Now, just merely escaping is blameworthy. Yani the fact that you turn around and you escape is already a problem. وَدَعْوَةُ الرَّسُولِ الْمُوجِبَ لِتَقْدِيمِهِ عَلَى النَّفْسِ أَعْظَمْ لَوْمًا يَتَخَلَّفُكُمْ عَنْهَا بِتَخَلُّفِكُمْ عَنْهَا بِنْهِزَامِكُمْ And, لَعَفْوًا, بِتَخَلُّفِكُمْ أَعْظَمْ لَوْمًا بِتَخَلُّفِكُمْ عَنْهَا فَأَثَابَكُمْ أَيْ جَازَاكُمْ عَلَى فِعْلِكُمْ غَمًّا بِغَمٍّ And in addition to that, the call of the Prophet ﷺ being ignored, even though you're supposed to sacrifice your own existence for the existence of the Prophet ﷺ. This is why you hear the Sahaba saying often, بِأَبِي وَأُمِّي أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Have you heard that before? بِأَبِي وَأُمِّي أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Meaning, I'm willing to give up and sacrifice the existence of my parents in return for your existence. And if I had the choice, both of the parents die or the Prophet ﷺ die, let my parents die and the Prophet ﷺ remain alive. Because that's the Messenger of Allah. He is more important than the parents. Because the parents may or may not guide you to the truth. But the Prophet ﷺ definitely guides you to the truth. And we were created to find the truth, apply the truth, live by the truth, teach the truth, everything is about the truth. So who's more valuable? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without a doubt. So that was even made more blameworthy. So Allah rewarded you. Now remember the word reward, it could entertain multiple meanings. Even though the most common usual usage of the word is in the positive sense. And you reward someone, meaning you give him a gift. But it could be, it could carry the meaning of reckoning or you do something and you get something in turn. It could be good, it could be bad. But usually when people say reward, they mean the positive meaning. But the word itself does entertain other meanings. In Arabic, definitely, jaza, the word jaza is the one used, which is, I'm running out of words this morning, alhamdulillah. We have reckoning or recompense. طيب, jaza, you comes in the Quran, you read the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah, and you will see that sometimes it is used as good reward and sometimes it is used as bad. Something bad in turn or in return for the bad one has done. For example, Surah An-Naba. Who can quote the ayah where the word jaza actually exists in more than one ayah? Who can quote the ayah where the word jaza is? Allah yaslihna wa iyyakum. Yalla ya jama'atul khair. Wallahi, I will get upset. For the sake of Allah, or maybe Zuza'ama, if somebody here doesn't have Zuza'ama memorized, we should reconsider what we're doing in life. At least quote an ayah for the sake of Allah. Jaza'an, jaza'an. Where does it come in Surah An-Naba? Don't look in the Quran, ya Shaykh. It's in your book here. Jaza'an ma'ala yabani. Huh? Jaza'an ma'ala yabani. Jaza'an ma'ala yabani in Naba, no? This is at the end. Before that, Jazaan, we baqa. We should have these like this, man. You should be able to quote them like you mentioned your name. Jazaan wifaqa. An equal recompense. Do you know what the context is? The people of Jahannam. إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا. These are the ayat, and before that all of them are speaking about the people of Jahannam, and Allah said جزاء وفاقا, an equal recompense. يعني you did this, that's what you get in return. And as the next ayah you quoted is the one that is positive, جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا. To the people of Jannah, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ إِلَى أَخْرِهِ جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَبَ. A reward, an equal recompense from your Lord, but there's a whole other tafsir of that, of course. The idea is jaza entertains both meanings. This is why I've always, and I continue to remind the brothers to say, جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Don't you say جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ and stop, because it could mean both. It could entertain both. So add the khayra, good. And the hadith mentions Jazakallahu khayra, good. Don't be too lazy to add one word.
Hey. I hear this and this TV.
Habibu, listen, ya Shaykh. Peace TV is a peace TV. It's a piece of Islam. Portion of Islam they teach you. You don't have every scholar in the world out there. There are some brothers who you can learn from and benefit from, and there are some brothers who you cannot learn from and you cannot benefit from. So to be very frank with you, may Allah reward everyone with goodness for the effort that they make, but not everything you see specifically on TV is something that you go across. Many may not know these intricate issues. It doesn't mean that they're not knowledgeable. It just means that they didn't have time to, you know, to go in that area. Sometimes the lack of Arabic language is a disaster. Yani when someone doesn't know the Arabic language, no matter how knowledgeable they are, if they've learned the deen in a foreign language, you will always find major discrepancies, major gaps. Because the Arabic is a crucial condition for one to truly understand the matters of the Quran and the Sunnah. So the Arabic is not something to be undermined in any way, shape or form. So sometimes some of the brothers, very good brothers, mashallah, probably better than all of us combined, but because of the lack of Arabic language, some things they may miss unintentionally.
But nobody can able to comment on this.
Again, I'm saying the jazakallah, it's not like he committed kufr or shirk on the stage. He just says jazakallah because it's popular among the people. Still, his niyyah is important. And when he's saying jazakallah, he really means may Allah reward you with goodness. That's fine. I'm saying we try to perfect our speech. Yani I'm trying to increase us a little bit. Doesn't mean that anything else is incorrect. Yeah. I'm just saying we might as well say Jazakallahu Khairan to avoid the possible, you know, negative meaning and to fulfill the hadith.
Yes.
It doesn't mean if someone says Jazakallah, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
أصلحنا الله وإياكم. هلا والله. طيب هذا يكفي. هذا يكفي. إذا يقول الشيخ رحمه الله فأثابكم أي جزاكم على فعلكم. So it was Allah then rewarded you for your action غمّا بغم. Distress upon distress. غمّا يتبعوا غم. يعني first, you know, just like I remember I read the story. الله أعلم how authentic it is. That some woman had 3 children. What happened was she was showering a baby. She was showering the baby, and outside her children were helping with the barbecue. They were inviting some people to have some dinner with them, and they were doing some barbecue. Anyways, one of the children burnt himself, and while he was burning himself, the other child tried to run across the street to get some help. He was hit by a car. The woman who had the baby left the baby and ran after the other children. Anyways, both of them died. She came back. The child she was showering in the bathtub also died. And drowned. Allahu a'lam. Yani this is I've heard from, I don't remember where. But this, hypothetically speaking, now this is a triple disaster. Yani 3 children dying simultaneously. Don't ask about the guilt she will feel because she left the baby, the infant. But she did it for a good reason, running after the other 2 children. Anyways, just imagine though, alhamdulillah Allah never tested us in this fashion. Imagine the kind of distress you'll be upon. Yani the distress of the death of one, then 2, then you come back and find out that the 3rd had died. This is ghamman ba'da gham. Yani it's a calamity, then nothing eases the calamity. Rather it gets good, better or worse, it gets worse. So ghamman yatba'u gham. So there was a distress that the Sahaba felt, followed with another distress. غَمٌ بِفَوَاتِ النَّصْرِ وَفَوَاتِ الْغَنِيمَةِ. The first distress is that they lost. They were unable to be victorious and they lost the war booty. وَغَمٌ بِنِيزَابِكُمْ. Another distress of actually, the first one is not attaining victory, the second distress is losing. Not only we didn't win, sometimes it's even. Sometimes you come out even. They didn't win and also they lost. وَغَمٌ أَنْسَاكُمْ كُلَّ غَمٍ وَهُوَ سَمَعُكُمْ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم قَدْ قُتِلْ. And the last one, which is the news that spread that Prophet ﷺ had died in the battle. So that was, you know, that was the end of it. Anyway, so one of them, actually, I don't know if the Sheikh mentioned it, but in the seerah, it mentions that some of them, after they heard Prophet ﷺ died, they were sitting there crying. And one of the Sahaba came and said, what are you doing? He said, you know, the Prophet ﷺ died. He said, then if he had died, then died for the same cause he died for. Yeah, and what's the point right now? He died for a cause, get up and fight for the same cause. So, you know, he tried to incite them to continue in the battle. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ بِلُطْفِهِ وَحُسْنَ نَظَرِهِ لِعِبَادِهِ وَحُسْنِ نَظَرِهِ لِعِبَادِهِ جَعَلَ اجْتِمَاعَ لِلْأُمُورِ لِعِبَادِهِ مُؤْمِنٍ خَيْرًا. Now, this is amazing. However, Allah, through His compassion and gentleness and His kindness towards the slaves, He made the combination of all of these things as a source of goodness for the believers. يعني with all these problems, this was still something good that happened to the Muslims. فقال لكي لا تحزنوا على ما فاتكم. So you will not be distressed and sad over what you have missed of victory and attaining the war booty. ولا ما أصابكم. And you will not be distressed over what has afflicted you. من الهزيمة والقتل والجراح. Like the loss and some of you being killed, others being wounded. إذا تحققتم أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يقتل. After it became clear to you that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not die. He did not die. هانت عليكم تلك المصيبات. All of these calamities were reduced. يعني they had all these problems. Then they heard Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died. خلاص. Then the news came that he's not dead. Now are you happy or sad? You happy? So what happened to the other things you were sad about? Gone. Right? Ah, who cares? Alhamdulillah. The messenger of Allah is alive. Yani ajeeb. This is Allah's mercy and, you know, His arrangement of the affairs. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajeeb. إذا هانت عليكم تلك المصيبات وقبضتم واقتبضتم بوجوده المسلي عن كل مصيبة ومحنة. So you became happy by his presence, which bypassed and surpassed every calamity and every source of sadness. فلله ما في ضمن البلايا والمحن من الأسرار والحكم. So by Allah, how often through or contained within calamities and trials, wisdoms and secrets. وكل هذا صادر عن علمه وكمال خبرته بأعمالكم وظواهركم وباطنكم. Now all this is based on Allah's knowledge and His well awareness of your deeds, your outer appearances, and your internal behavior and belief. ولهذا قال والله خبير بما تعملون. That's why Allah said, and Allah is the expert. He's the one who knows everything concerning that which you do. ويحتمل أن معنى قوله لكي لا تحزنوا على ما فاتكم ولا ما أصابكم يعني أنه قدر ذلك الغم والمصيبة عليكم لكي تتوطن نفوسكم وتمرنوا على الصبر على المصيبات ويخف عليكم تحمل الشقات. ما شاء الله. The Shaykh said another possible interpretation of the ayah, so you will not be saddened over what you have missed or that which would have afflicted you. Another possible meaning is that Allah decreed that calamity, so you will train yourselves to be patient at the time of calamities. And if that would happen in that battle, so next time around something similar happens, you've already learned the lesson before that you need patience in order to survive. This is Allah teaching you a lesson, permanent lesson. Ayah 154. ثم أنزل عليكم من بعد الغم الذي أصابكم أمنة النعاس يخشى طائفة منكم. Then Allah sent down after this distress sleep or drowsiness or slumberness which overtook a group of you. ولا شك أن هذا رحمة بهم وإحسان وتثبيت لقلوبهم وزيادة لإيمانهم لأن الخائف لا يأتيه النعاس. Now this is mercy from Allah and goodness, a means of keeping the hearts firm and to provide them with more tranquility. Why? Because the person who's afraid cannot get any sleep. Can you imagine someone who's afraid? If someone was afraid, will they be able to sleep? No. It's difficult. You ask any woman who knows that there's a rat or a mouse in the room, tell her sleep. She will not be able to sleep. Right? Even if it was a cockroach, she will not be able to sleep. Fear will prevent you from sleeping. Now, here the Sahaba, they are about to engage in war. Yani your life is at stake. It's on the line. And still Allah gave them, out of mercy, slumberness. They felt drowsy. And some of them slept. لِمَا فِي قَلْبِ أَخَفْ فَإِذَا زَالَ الْخَوْفُ عَنْ قَلْبِ أَمْكَنَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ النَّاسُ. If fear then is removed from the heart, one may be able to sleep. وَهَذِهِ الطَّائِفَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِالنُّعَاسِ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ إِلَّا إِقَامَةَ دِينِ اللَّهِ وَرِضَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَصْلَحَةِ إِخْوَانِهِمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who are those whom Allah gave this blessing, the blessing of sleeping? It is those righteous believers whose only concern is establishing the religion of Allah, pleasing Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and observing and maintaining the rights and the benefits of their fellow Muslims. وَأَمَّا الطَّائِفَةَ الْأُخْرَى. As for the second group, الَّذِينَ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. They were only concerned about themselves. فَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ هَمٌّ فِي غَيْرِهَا لِنِفَاقِهِمْ أَوْ ضَعْفِ إِيمَانِهِمْ. They have no concern but themselves due to their hypocrisy or their weakness of faith. Due to their hypocrisy or their weakness of faith. So there were the hypocrites among them who don't care what happens to the Muslims as long as they survive. And some people with weak iman. But the believers, they were concerned about establishing the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. فَلِهَذَا لَمْ يُصِبْهُمْ مِنَ النِّعَاسِ مَا أَصَابَ غَيْرَهُمْ. This is why they did not experience any slumberness as it was the case with the other righteous believers. يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْنِ شَيْءٍ. Furthermore, they say, do we have anything, any part of this affair? Do we have any involvement in this affair? وَهَذَا إِسْتِفْهَامٌ إِنْكَارِي. This is a negating interrogative. Yani they're trying to ask, and in fact they're trying to say, we don't have anything to do with this. We have no involvement in this affair. أيماننا من أمر أي النصر والظهور شيء يعني they believe that we have nothing, we cannot bring about victory and be superior. فأساءوا الظن بربهم وبدينه وبنبيه. So they had an evil assumption about Allah, His religion and His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وظنوا أن الله لا يتم أمر رسوله. And they thought Allah will not fulfill the promise which He gave to His messenger. وأن هذه الهزيمة هي الفيصلة والقاضي على دين الله. And they thought that this loss will be the determining loss, and it will be the exterminator of the religion of Allah. It will put the religion of Allah to an end. This is what they thought. قال الله في جوابهم. Allah said in response to them, قل إن الأمر كله لله. Say the whole affair belongs to Allah. الأمر يشمل الأمر القدري والأمر الشرعي. And this includes the decree, the command, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and His legal command. يعني what He decreed will happen and what He commanded the believers to do, both belong to Allah. فجميع الأشياء بقضاء الله وقدره. Everything happens by Allah's preordainment and His decree. وعاقبتها النصر والظفر لأوليائه وأهل طاعته وإن جرى عليه ما جرى. And the final outcome is victory. Is victory and success, wa alaykum salam, to his believing slaves, even if they suffer for some time. Yani even if they go through some ups and downs and they come across some obstacles, the final outcome is what? Who's the victory at the end of the day? The believers. Right? Wa inna jundana لهم الغالبون. In Surah Al-Saffat, Allah says, and really our soldiers are the ones who are victorious. They are the ones who will defeat at the end of the day. So sooner or later, right now, the Muslims are struggling. We are struggling. We are not in a superior position. Rather, it is the other way around. And why is that? Because we have not adhered to the deen of Allah. We have not adhered to the deen of Allah. We are divided in a number of ways. As generally speaking, they say perhaps one third, if not more, of the ummah does not pray. And if we were to really be accurate in our judgment, they're not even Muslims anymore. Yani they may claim Islam. If they left Allah, he's out. Then among those who pray, we have a number of issues. Some who follow their desires all the way. Whatever their mind and intellect, even if it's feeble, even if it's insignificant intellect, whatever it tells them, they do. They are slaves of their thoughts and ideas and preferences. And others are not as bad, but they follow whatever is easy of the religion and doesn't oppose or contend their choices and purposes, they do it. Anytime it opposes their choices and purposes, like the first group, Masjihad, not for me. I know, but I can't do. Why? Get. No excuse. Just desires. Preference of the dunya over the life to come. Another group, all they care about is the dunya. Then another group, within the people of knowledge and those involved in knowledge, are innovators. People who follow invented ways in Islam. They change the deen of Allah. They deny the hadith. So you have those who follow the Quran only, deny the hadith. Then you have people who want to understand the Quran and the hadith not according to the way of the first early generations. And then you have among those who follow the way of the Salaf, war, dispute, groups, sectarianism. Don't listen to this, not here. This is not the group. We are, follow us, Jama'at Tabligh, Ahli Hadith, Salafi, Ikhwani, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, look at this. And we want victory. We want Aqsa. We want this. We want that. Afghanistan. Look, even in one class don't agree. In one classroom, we're going just, you know, fighting all the time. Ah, brother this, brother said that, brother said this, but I don't see on TV. And imagine, just to give you a classical example. And you said this, and he said that, and I'm brother, those confused. Jazakallah, Jazakallah khair, wallah, but he's on TV, he's not on TV. If I'm better than him, why am I on TV? It must be the one on TV. So we ignore Abu Mus'ab, for example. Yani the shayateen are playing games. Yeah? So, this is sad and it's funny at the same time, of course, because I'm cracking jokes. But look at the overview, we have problems. We have genuine problems. No victory is going to come. No victory. We don't even have men. We don't have real men in the ummah. The real men that we used to have, wallah, 100, if we had 100 of them today, the whole condition of the ummah would change. But we don't have these men that they used to have. We're not like them. We're not like them. We're not serious. We don't have the iman. We don't have the strength. We don't have the power that they used to possess. Their reliance upon Allah. You tell someone, Yaqi, this job is haram. Your money is haram. Say, brother, what can I do? What can I do? I have to work. I have to get this loan. Yaqi, where's your reliance upon Allah? Look, Allah is the one who sustained you before, sustains you now, will sustain you in the future. What's wrong with you? How do you want Allah to give you haram money? Yeah, you want to gain the money haram, and then you want Allah to make your life blessed and facilitate your affairs and take you to Jannah. Yeah, it's a very twisted thinking. But did you know that this is the problem that we face all the time? What does that mean? Okay, this is the problem. These are the symptoms. What is the treatment? The treatment is we must take the deen seriously. Some men must make their only objective and concern in life is the religion of Allah. They only work because they have to earn a living, and even while they work, they live Islam, they apply Islam, they teach Islam, they share Islam. And these men have to have children upon the same methodology. Not a child who knows how to beat the PlayStation game in one day, and not a child who can, you take him to a race, you know, a race car, he will be the first, and not a child who can score a goal from the other side of the court. None of these children. Now we have so many of them, it's not even funny. A child who is 7, 8 years old, 10 years old, has the Quran memorized, has his book with him in his hand, he knows the deen of Allah. Huh? Children like that, have 6, 7, 8 of them, wallah, they will change Jeddah. They will change Jeddah. And have a few of them all over the Muslim world, the whole, then the generations that come after them, these will be their teachers. But if we have a bunch of clowns, then we bring into existence another set of clowns, then what do you speak about the third generation clowns? They will be even worse. Worse than all of those that preceded them. So yani, we must internalize this basic understanding. Those of you who are on the verge of having children or have your wives are pregnant, yani say vow for Allah. This is like the mother of Maryam, Imran, bint Imran. She vowed Maryam for a service of Allah before she knew she was a girl. Vow a son of yours for the sake of Allah. We have plenty of engineers, plenty of doctors, plenty of all kinds of things. Everyone wants a child to make a, you know, become a millionaire. Isn't anyone willing to sacrifice a child for the sake of Allah? Forget about this dunya. Let him learn the deen. Don't undermine his right. Give him his right. Give him the, you know, the knowledge he needs to get graduate from school. But that should be the last thing on this. One child strictly dedicated for the sake of Allah. Seriously. But who thinks this way? No, akhi, his future. Akhi, if he becomes a sheikh, who's going to pay his ratib? What is he going to earn? Yeah. We go back to the thing, depend on Allah. Rely on Allah. Put your trust in Allah. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. Allah is going to abandon you or him. Allah will not abandon you or him. You are better in the sight of Allah than a million other engineers. Because this one is carrying the deen of Allah. Allah will provide him. Don't be afraid. But we must do that. Our children must not be the average children. They must not be like every Tom, Dick and Harry. They have to be something else. We can do it, especially at a young age, when they're still like clay. However you form them, however you shape them, they will grow inshallah. Let them learn the deen of Allah in a serious manner. Otherwise, our affair is not going to change. And the history will mention us, Muslims who lived in this era, as people who did nothing for the deen of Allah. We will not be those who initiated the Islamic revolution. And I'm not speaking about military revolution, I'm speaking about intellectual, spiritual revolution. People who begin, the fruits will be seen in a few generations, but we will begin it today. Otherwise, as Allah said, Allah will replace us with another group of people and they will not be like us. Allah doesn't need us. Allah does not need us. So if you don't make this effort, يعني والله will be big losers, man, big losers. Allah musta'an. Then these people had assumed wrong about Allah Azza wa Jal, and they thought that this would not. Oh, Allah already replied to that. Hey, now listen to this. يُخْفُونَ. Now the hypocrites, they hide في أنفسهم ما لا يبدون لك. They hide within themselves that which they do not expose before you. ثم بين الأمر الذي يخفونه. Then Allah explained what is it that they are hiding. فقال يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء. They say, where is it? Hey, if we had anything to do with the affair. أي لو كان لنا في هذه الواقعة رأي ومشورة. يعني they say, if we had anything to do in this affair, if our opinion was sought, if we were consulted, يعني if the Prophet ﷺ consulted these hypocrites concerning the matter and the affair, ما قتلنا هاهنا, we would not have been killed right here. وهذا إنكار منهم وتكذيب بقدر الله. This is a form of denying and belying Allah's preordainment. وتسفيهم منهم لرأي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورأي أصحابه. And it means of belittling the opinion of the Messenger of Allah and the opinion of the Sahaba, because they had agreed that they should go and meet the enemy. And these people are saying, if they consulted us, this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have been killed. Basically, denying Allah, Allah's preordainment, and he's saying that Prophet ﷺ made the wrong decision, and so did the Sahaba. وَتَزْكِيَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And further, they are praising and purifying themselves above anyone else. فَرَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِقَوْلِهِ. Now here's Allah's refutation. قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. Say, if you were in your homes, if you were in your homes, الَّذِي هِيَ أَبْعَدْ شَيْعًا مَظَنِّ الْقَتْلِ. This is the furthest you can be from being killed in an accident, at least in engaging in war. Right? You may die of natural reasons, but what are the chances of dying in your house while engaged in a battle? Minimum. Because usually you're outside, confronting the enemy outside, not in your house. But say, if you were in your homes, لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَجِعِهِمْ. Death would have come to those whose time has come, decreed, to their own beds. Yeah, and if you're hiding in your bed, and Allah decreed that Fulan will die on, you know, Dhul-Qa'dah, the 20th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1431, whether you are on a plane, or you are here, or you wherever you are, death is going to come to you. So don't think that by hiding in your home and avoiding the battle, you will be giving life which Allah did not decree for you to begin with. This is the idea. لِفَالْأَسْبَابِ وَإِنْ عَرَضَهَا الْقَدَرِ لَمْ تَنْفَعْ شَيْئًا بَلْ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يُمْضِيَ اللَّهُ مَا كَتَبَ فِي اللَّوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ. So reasons do not affect the pre-decree of Allah. It is inevitable that Allah's preordainment shall come to pass. Shall come to pass. Because it has been already written in the preserved tablet concerning the people's death and the people's survival. وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ. And so that Allah may test that which is within your chest. أَيْ يَقْتَبِرَ مَا فِيهَا مِنْ نِفَاقٍ وَإِيمَانٍ وَضَعْفِ إِيمَانٍ. So this is as means of Allah testing the believers. Who is sound in faith, who is a hypocrite, and who is weak in faith. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ مِنْ وَسَاوِسِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَمَا تَأَثَّرَ عَنْهَا مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ الْغَيْرِ حَمِيدَةِ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ غَيْرِ الْحَمِيدَةِ. And also to purify your souls from the whispers of the shaitan and any other things they have been affected with concerning qualities that are not praiseworthy. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And Allah knows all that which is within the chest, isn't it خَبِيرٌ عَلِيمٌ صح أي بما فيها وما أكنته فاقتدى علمه وحكمته أن قدر من الأسباب ما به تظهر مخبئات الصدور وسرائر الأمور. So Allah decreed that through His wisdom and knowledge that these events will take place, so that which is hidden within the chest will come out. يعني had this not happened, the munafiqeen would have never been exposed. And they would have never said, had we only been home, nothing would have happened, we wouldn't have been killed over here. Because of these events, Allah tested the believers and it became clear who is a true believer, who is weak in the iman, does not really, يعني, does not have patience at the time of calamities, and who is a hypocrite, who pretends to be a believer, but truly within, they lack belief. And I believe, we can finish with this ayah, ayah 155. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. The ayah says, uno momento, Bismillah, it doesn't want to come, I will bring it anyways. Okay, those of you who turned back on the day the two hosts met in the Battle of Uhud, it was Shaytan who caused them to backslide. Hello? It was Shaytan who caused them to backslide. Yani run away from the battlefield because of some sins they had earned. But Allah indeed has forgiven them. Surely Allah is all forgiven, most forbearing. يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى عَنْ حَالِ الَّذِينَ هَزَمُوا يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ وَمَا الَّذِي أَوْجَبَ لَهُمُ الْفِرَارُ وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ تَسْوِيلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah told us about those who lost on the day of Uhud. And He told us about that which necessitated their escape and how the shaitan tricked them. وَأَنَّهُ تَسَلَّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِبَعْضِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ. And that he was only given authority over them because of some of their sins. Allah المستعان. فهم الذين أدخلوه على أنفسهم ومكنوه بما فعلوا من المعاصي لأنها مركبة ومدخلة. So they are the ones who allowed Shaytan to enter into them and to take over them because of the sins they had committed, because all of them are interrelated and intertwined. And this is a lesson that we need to learn. يعني whatever happens to us as a calamity, it is because of our sins. Look at all these. The Muslims lost the battle because of the sins of some of the Muslims. Because of the sins of some of the Muslims. Meaning the sins we commit affect the whole community. And if somebody wants to destroy his life, let him continue engaging in sins. Let him continue engaging in sins. Wallahu al-musta'an. Then that happens when we engage in sins. Shaytan is given access, authority, according to sins. The more we disobey Allah, the more the shaitan is in control. The more he controls us. Go here, go there, stay, sleep, wake up. We have no control over ourselves. The less we disobey Allah, the less control the shaitan has, the more control we have by Allah's will and decree. This is how it works. So each one of us can increase or decrease of his affair with the shaitan. فَلَوْ اَعْتَصَمُوا بِطَاعَةِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمَا كَانَ لَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. Had they been held on to the obedience of their master Allah, the shaitan, he would have had no authority over them. قال تعالى إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان. Allah said to Iblis, verily my slaves, you shall have no authority over them. So the higher the level of slavery to Allah, the less the shaitan will have access and authority over the person. ثم أخبر أنه عفى عنهم بعدما فعلوا ما يوجب المؤاخذة. But the beautiful part is that Allah informed us that He forgave them and He pardoned them even after they did that which they deserve to be blamed for. وإلا فلو أخذهم لاستأصلهم. Otherwise had Allah recompensed them or reckoned them for their deeds, Allah would have exterminated them. If Allah was to deal with them based on their sins, they would have been gone. But Allah forgave them and He pardoned them subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ. Verily Allah is the all-forgiving. لِلْمُذْنِبِينَ الْخَاطِئِينَ بِمَا يُوَفِّقَهُمْ لَهُ مِنَ التَّوْبَ وَالْاسْتِغْفَارِ وَالْمَصَائِبِ الْمُكَفِّرَةِ. Allah is forgiving, all-forgiving, not, you know, to the sinful wrongdoer, by Allah guiding them to words, tawbah, repentance, and seeking forgiveness, and by testing them with calamities which expiate sins. Haleem, forbearing. La yu'ajil man asa. He does not hasten to punish the one who disobeys him. بَلْ يَسْتَأْنِي بِهِ وَيَدْعُوهُ إِلَى الْإِنَابَةِ إِلَيْهِ وَلِلْبَعَدِ. Rather, Allah is patient and Allah gives him time and He calls him to repentance and to returning to Him. ثُمَّ إِنْ تَابْ وَأَنَابْ قَبِلَ مِنْ. Then if this person was to repent to Allah and return to Allah, Allah would accept that of him. وَصَيْرَهُ كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَجْرِ مِنْهُ ذَنْ. And Allah will make him, He will render his affair as if he never disobeyed Allah. وَلَمْ يَصْدُرْ عَنْهُ عَيْبٌ. And as if he never had any fault. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ عَلَىٰ إِحْسَانِهِ. So to Allah belongs all praise for His excellence and His goodness in dealing with the slaves. With this we conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. Next week we continue, bi-idhnillah, if we all remain alive and healthy, in dealing with the more of the context of the battles that the Muslims took at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.